My parents loved me and they took care of me, but they taught me a broken kind of love. And so I did things what I thought was out of love to my kids, but a lot of it ended up being stuff that was kind of damaging to them.
Wow, you know, when I heard Carlos share that, a broken kind of love, it was, that's kind of a book title, isn't it? I mean, a broken kind of love. And so many of you maybe were raised like that. Today, we want to help you. If you're a parent, your grandparent raising kids, your young parent just getting started, got teenagers, maybe young adults, you're still in the parenting process, and we want to help you raise a responsible adult. We wrote a whole curriculum on that and a whole book on that topic of raising responsible adults. And so we want to help you think that through today and give you some really practical help. Here's the question. What is the number one thing that parents worry about when it has to do with their children? Health, top list of parental concerns. What do you think's on the list? I was sort of stunned by this list. This is a 21st century list, not what some of us, you know, when you think back to having kids maybe years ago, you know, getting in trouble with school and not getting along with their friends, things like that. Today, what's on this list? Getting in trouble with the police, being shot, getting pregnant, having problems with drug and alcohol, getting beaten up. But what's number one on the list? I'll tell you what it is in just a moment. But before we do that, we're going to open up the phone lines because here's what you know. You've been around with Intentional Living. We're here to help you and we want to help others. I'm Dr. Randy. We're right here in the Intentional Living Center. Our producer, Stephen Davis, will be taking your calls. And Andrew's on the board today. Welcome, Andrew, and thank you for your help. I appreciate it. We're opening the phone line as it has to do with maybe something you've learned as a parent, one thing that's helped you in parenting, one thing that in raising your kids or in the process of raising your kids that you had to say, hey, this is one thing we're doing to try to be intentional in the world in which we live with our kids. What is it? Give us a call. And if you can't think of something, you ought to be thinking about it because it's a big deal. Phone lines open. Let's go. Helping each other. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. I was stunned. Number three on this list of mental health top concerns parents have for their kids was being kidnapped. Nearly 30% of parents are concerned, worried about their kids being kidnapped. We live in a culture today where that happens. We got trafficking, you know, kid trafficking going on, and it's a big deal. Number one on the list, though, 4 out of 10, 40 out of 100, 40% of parents are concerned about their kids struggling with anxiety and depression. And of course, we know that can lead to bad things sometimes. And so, here's the question. What are you doing in your home? What's one thing that's helped you? I should be hearing things today like listening to my kids, appreciating their differences, training up a child the way he should go, knowing their unique talents and abilities, getting behind the eyes of our kids and learning to kind of see life like they see life a little bit, being consistent with our discipline, being on the same page. These are things that I've taught for years. These are things that work. These are intentional living things. What's one thing that's working for you? Love to hear it. 888-888-1717. I want to go back to Carlos, though. I was taken by his call yesterday as I was prepping for the show, and I want you to hear a little bit more of what he had to say, because this isn't what we want. And I think he just opens his heart and says, hey, I'm trying to do better as a parent. Take a listen.
My advice would be to learn what real love is through Christ. My parents loved me and they took care of me, but they taught me a broken kind of love. And so I did things what I thought was out of love to my kids, but a lot of it ended up being stuff that was kind of damaging to them. I really didn't know what love was until the last few years. I didn't realize that I was kind of a broken person until the last few years.
Mm. Well, tell us, when you think about what you've been through, give us some descriptions of what love looks like from a parent. What should it look like?
Oh, it should be calm responses, not yelling, not degrading.
Mm. Are you reflecting on your own parenting or your own experience as a child?
Oh, both.
Yeah.
I've been not a very good parent.
Mm. Have you been able to talk to your kids? Are they raised now?
My oldest is 18. My youngest is 14. And we've made some great strides in our relationships. But some of it has just been really difficult to overcome because the damage was so great.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize how great it was.
Mm. That was recorded some time ago with Carlos, and I went on to pray with him when he was on the air with me live. And I don't know how he's doing today, but you know what? We pray for each of you because we want to help you be the kind of parent that God intends for you to be. And our engineer here today, young Andrew's a new daddy, right? Andrew, turn that microphone on there, my friend. Tell us about that boy of yours.
Oh, he's getting big. He smiles, he's laugh, he giggles. He has just been a blessing.
8 months.
8 months, yep.
Yep. What do you, when you think about this topic of looking into the world we're living in, what are you concerned about as a daddy today?
Just being careful what the world's going to teach him.
Yeah.
Teach him in the right way and tell him what is wrong and right. Because there's lots of stuff out there in the world that will teach your kid what's right, which is actually wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So just being more, giving them more wisdom and choose what is the right course of action.
You're going to be a good dad, Andrew. I know that. I mean, Andrew's here. He runs all of this behind the scenes stuff that makes sure it works. And he's the type of young daddy that says, hey, I care about my family and my kids, and I'm going to be there and I'm going to love them. And maybe you weren't raised that way, and it makes it difficult as you go into this parenting thing. And so whatever stage you're in, those of us who are looking back now with our own grandkids, watching our grandkids grow up, realizing that every child is different. They're all unique. They got different personalities, different needs. But, you know, the principle of love, training up a child with your love, letting them know that you care for them, that's such a powerful thing as a parent. All right, come and join us, 888-888-1717. Let's go to Becky in Michigan. Hey, Becky, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. Good. What have you learned? What's one thing that you're working on as a parent?
A schedule. I said time frame, but I think schedule is a better meaning. I had no guidance growing up, and I went down the wrong path. So to me, it's very important to stick to routine and a schedule. And anytime my children are on their games or whatnot, I always give them a warning, 5 minutes and you have to get off. And ever since I started doing that, I've had no problems whatsoever. They stick to a schedule. I have children ranging from 4 to 21.
Well, how were you raised?
I have a father who was a police officer and a mother who was a bookkeeper. My mother had dinner on the table, but she didn't push for school. Academics was not, I guess, so important, unfortunately. But I knew I was loved and I knew I was taken care of, but there is a lot of generational curses on our family.
Yeah.
I was always in trouble, but never told I was doing a good job when I was, or no positive reinforcement. And that has affected me all the way up until today.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You were always sort of feeling like you were the blame for everything?
Blame for everything, and also told every time I wasn't doing something correctly, but wasn't shown how to do it correctly. That caused huge, huge problems in my life.
Well, let me encourage you, Becky. You're calling here and saying, hey, it stops here in this generation with me. Right?
Amen, yes.
And so pat yourself on the back and be encouraged. I mean, these are the opportunities in life. When we fall down, we get back up. If we don't think we're on the right path, we change. And to do that's not easy, but setting schedule, holding kids accountable, training them, loving them. Come on, that's what a Christian parent ought to be doing with a lot of love. Thank you, Becky. Do appreciate that call. That's great. You can join us as well, 888-888-1717. What's working for you, Dawn, in Michigan? How are you?
Hi, good, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's your one thing?
My one thing is extremely limited screen time.
Hmm. And how do you, well, what's limited and how do you manage it?
Well, lots of supervision. So I homeschool, so I'm looking over their shoulders at all times. And I think there's many layers to the screen times. I think it takes away creativity, and I think it exposes them to way too much. And so I think the alternative screen time is normally more healthy than what they can get on a screen.
Now, what do you do when you limit it? Do you have like a clock? You get so much time, or how do you manage screen time in your home?
Yeah, it's 30 minutes a day, and it has to be approvable screen time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see a runaway problem with the media, social media, and things going on with kids today. They're even talking about putting warning labels on social media for kids.
I believe it, yeah.
Because it is damaging. I mean, when you see kids 4, 5, 6 hours a day on the screen, but parents, are we much better? I mean, we can get caught up as well. They figured out how to make you scroll through things so there's no end to what's next and what's next. It catches that need to see more, doesn't it?
There's very, very smart people that are working out very good algorithms to keep us hooked, that's for sure.
Do you struggle with it yourself?
No, nope, thank goodness. I was raised without a screen. We didn't have a television when I grew up, so it made it easier.
Wow, what century did you grow up in?
I'm not sure if my parents did it on purpose or if they just, our television broke and they never replaced it. But
and you're better off for it.
I think so, yep. We spent most of our time outside doing a lot of creative projects, so my kids are all very musical and artistic and theatrical, and they do a lot of stuff.
Good for you. Well, I think you have a lot of us as parents and grandparents thinking again, maybe feeling a little guilty about, hey, we just use the screen as a babysitter. You know, here it is, and when they're done, they're done, and... that's a whole other topic, but it's a huge topic today when it comes to the influence in our kids' lives. But what are you doing? Let's take a break. Andrew will be right back. Denise, interesting. She says in her home in New Mexico, only Christian music. What do you think about that? We'll come back in a moment. Don't go away.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
This thing of living intentionally is not about doing the last 3 chapters only of Ephesians. It's not just about loving your wife more and being a good person and submitting to one another. That gets to be hard work if we don't get the first 3 chapters of Ephesians straight. I can't do Ephesians 4 through 6 if I don't understand and embrace Ephesians 1 through 3. Yeah, that is very true. That's an excerpt from the online exclusive teaching this month, featured for our monthly members, those of you praying for and supporting the ministry of Intentional Living. Thank you for doing that. God bless you. If you're not a member, come and join us. We need you on the journey. We need the support, of course, to help us carry on. But even more important, we want to be here for you. That's why we do this, helping parents and young married couples and adults and seniors and young people figure out what pleases Christ, and then do it, as it says in the book of Ephesians. That's intentional living. 7-word mission statement, helping you experience life as God intended. 7 words. That's what we do, and it's a privilege to do it. You can join in today. We're focused on kids, and in particular, parents. We're really focused on parents. What's one thing that's been working for you in your home? 888-888-1717. To raise a responsible adult in a crazy world, because let me tell you something, this is really the key to this whole half hour. Whoever's most intentional in the life of your kid is going to win. You with me? Whoever's most intentional in the life of your children and your family is going to win. That's true. Whoever's most intentional with your money, well, whoever's most intentional with your marriage is going to win. That's it. And so today, I think even more than in generations past, Listen, parents, got to be intentional. What comes into your home? What goes out of your home? What's the influences in your home? And the impact you have, the difference you make. Join in. What's one thing that helps you? 888-888-1717. And for those of you joining in support, go to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. Appreciate it. All right, Denise, how are you in New Mexico today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Only Christian music in your home. How did you make that decision and why?
So the day I got saved was the last day I listened to secular music, and my husband as well. And we only listened to Christian radio stations and only listened to Christian music. As I believe that the Bible tells us that Satan was the worship leader in heaven, and I think that he uses music to really work in people's hearts.
Yeah.
So I just felt like that was one thing that I really wanted. The other thing was cursing. I feel like cursing is addressed in the Bible, and the Lord took cursing from my husband's mouth the day he got saved.
Wow.
And we have made it a point not to do that. And I think that really sets kids up for adulthood and knowing where the line is.
Good for you. Now, what difference have those coming to Christ, obviously, and then these two decisions made in your home?
I feel like that was the kids' choice growing up, is to really be grounded in worship music. And
but I mean, has it made a difference in your experience in your home and your family doing this?
Well, I guess I could say I see in other homes where cursing is not objected, and
yeah.
I just see how that affects, and it's easy to just lash out at people with cursing and stuff.
Yeah, very, very true. And setting the tone, we're in this ministry. You talk about radio, that's what we do. We do media, that's really our name, Intentional Life Media, and Family Life Radio. We do radio, and then we do all sorts of things online, content through our social media and through our podcast, because we believe in the power of communicating that which is going to lift up and help. And you're right about music. I mean, look at these superstar musicians that are traveling the world, billionaires, some of these people, because they influence people with their music. And in many cases, in not the way that we want our kids to be influenced. That's why we really set the tone in our own ministry, to make sure that the music that we select to play and allow into our own homes will be the kinds of things that will lift up your life and encourage you and draw you closer to Christ. So it's a great reminder. All right, thank you. Denise, let me go to Justin, also in New Mexico. How are you today?
Good, yourself, Doctor?
Good. Appreciate your call. What, got a question or comment?
No, one thing that, you know, really has helped our family kind of grow close and develop some good structure and habits is we put our kids in a lot of sports. I've got a 4, a 6, and a 20-year-old, and we've put them in a lot of sports. And growing up, we were never allowed to do that. But granted, now, you know, they get the structure of stability of sports and just being at practices and knowing what determination is and knowing how to personally grow, not just physically, but also mentally. And, you know, it helped me a lot, because now my wife and I are head coaches of T-ball teams and football teams. And
good for you. Hey, listen, we're grandparents now, and I got to tell you, we have more fun going to our grandkids. Our granddaughter's a volleyball. She's really good at it. And, of course, you're always rooting whenever she gets up to serve, right? But our kids, you know, T-ball, softball, volleyball. So we went out and bought one of those seats that you put on the bleachers. You with me? You seen those things? So it's more comfortable, because we figure, hey, we're going to go and sit, but we want to be comfortable. So, but you're right. There's discipline, if you got the right coach, discipline, teamwork, healthy competition. I think those things are good. I think those are good for kids. Very good. Thank you, Justin. Let me go to Mary. You can join us too. 888-888-1717. How are you, Mary?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. What's your one thing in parenting?
Well, to stop and think before we react. So my mom was very intolerant of childish things, And I would have never dreamed of doing some of the things that my kids have done to me over the years.
Hmm.
And the first time, I wish I could remember exactly what it was that one of my sons did to me. It wasn't a bad thing, but it could have been irritating. And I felt like the Lord just stopped me in my tracks and said, could this be a funny thing, or are you going to discipline him?
Hmm.
And I was able to turn it into a funny thing because they hadn't done any damage. They hadn't really done anything wrong except maybe get into my personal space. But so I made it into a funny. And another big one that comes back to my memory is we were swimming one day. Well, the boys were. I was sitting out in the sun. And one of them ran up to me soaking wet and gave me a great big hug. A soaking wet, cold hug. And I had to stop and say, okay, is this a funny or am I going to... Like, okay, this is a funny. Let's make this a funny. And, of course, the next thing I know, both boys are running up to me soaking wet. But we're all laughing and having a good time. And so, you know, the only thing I can credit, of course, is God. But also the fact that I did not want... raise my kids like my mom raised me. And I was always throwing that prayer towards the Lord, help me to be a good mom. And he's answered that prayer over and over again during the years when he just stops me from blowing my lid and saying, this could be a funny.
Yeah, that's right. And that you're a good parent. My friend, Dr. Kevin Lehman, I don't know if he's listening today or not, but would often say, when a child spills the milk, for instance, you know, they don't need to be yelled at. What you need is a rag. You know, you pick it up and you train and then you keep going. Because we can make big things out of little things sometimes. The wet clothes will dry. And we can use these moments to really encourage our kids. I was thinking of a verse. Here's a good verse for you, Andrew, as a young dad, because I know you're not a yeller. I mean, I know your temperament, but some parents are. Maybe if you're raised with a yeller, it becomes something you can do. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says that the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. And that's a really powerful, interesting verse, I think, for parents could be applied. Have you ever noticed when you speak quietly, the kids will pay better attention than when you raise your voice? And I know that we've all had times where we raise our voice and we wish we hadn't. But can I encourage you in your homes that we not make it a yell fest? We lower the volume. And we really should only yell when there's a fire, you know, to get out. Otherwise, we use what we call here the kind of discipline that holds kids accountable and responsible. But it's not harsh or punitive. It's intentional. That's what it is. Hey, quick break. We got time for that? I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, I hope you'll do that. Thank you, Kurt. Great reminder, theintentionallife.com. Or as he mentioned, you can call during West Coast business hours. Talk to our team here. 888-888-1717 is the number. Raising a responsible adult. Tell you what we're going to do. This is right back to the beginning of the ministry. We were Parent Talk at the very beginning, years and years ago. And it's expanded to really say, hey, your whole life, let's be intentional. But we're going to reopen the phone lines right now. We're going to record a show that's going to air next week. And we simply want to hear from parents all around the country. What's one thing that's helped you in parenting that you want to pass along to some others coming up behind you? 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. All right, Doreen, how are you today in Michigan?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, what's your one thing?
Well, I wanted to respond to that man who said that he put his children into sports.
Yes.
Our son was into every sport. I mean, hockey, soccer, travel teams, Junior Olympics. And I'll tell you the one thing that we insisted on as a family was there was never an excuse, whether we were in Canada, Missouri, Detroit, it didn't matter where we were. We, as a family, went to church every Sunday. And it was kind of interesting because we were in Canada one time and my son fell asleep in the church service. And afterwards, the priest gave him a candy and he said, well, I guess I put you to sleep. But he said, I'm so glad you're here. But our son today is an orthopedic surgeon. And even with his on-call duties on a Sunday, he makes time for church, whether it's online, in person. And I just think that's made a huge difference because he could see in all the travel teams he was on that many parents, I would say we were the only ones who went to church. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever knew a family that went to church besides us. And they always had an excuse. Well, we don't know this, you know, pastor, or we don't know the people. We don't know. And I always told my son that did not matter. You were there to worship God. It didn't matter if you knew the person or the people or any of that. You were there to worship God, and it was your responsibility or our responsibility to be in church on Sundays. And I just think it's made a huge difference. I mean, on top of that, you know, he always went to vacation Bible schools, as many as I could find. He was involved. So it wasn't right. Just sports. It was, you know, God first and then everything else after that.
All right, parents. You're getting some free advice here today and a lot of wisdom of parents who are maybe up ahead of you in terms of things they've done and how they're parenting. Come and join the discussion. Parents, grandparents, what's one thing you've learned? We need each other. We're in a community that's under attack. Let's face it. Let's just be really honest. Those of us who might hold to more of the traditional values, the biblical values of how we raise our kids and how we live our lives in this crazy upside down world, what's one thing that's helped you in terms of your priorities, how you're raising your kids, how you're handling entertainment, and all the things that we have to do in raising kids today? Come and join us. 888-888-1717. We're going off the air live, but we're going to record for a show that's going to air next Wednesday. And so we'd love to have you be a part of it. And you can right now. 888-888-1717. What percentage of parents say parenting's harder than it used to be? I'll tell you that when we get back on that show a week from now. See you then.